Welcome back to the Women Offshore Podcast. My name is Ali Cedeno, and I am the founder and the president of the Women Offshore Foundation and the host of this show. This episode contains content that may be alarming to some listeners. We advise listener and reader discretion. At Women Offshore, we do our best to hold these topics with sincerity, and we hope you'll listen in only when you feel ready and able. Check the show notes for support resources, and please take care of yourself. Thank you for listening to the Women Offshore Podcast. I know you're here because you want change to happen in the industry just as much as I do. I thank you in advance for being a part of that change. At this point, most people are very aware of the Midshipman X story and that sexual assault and sexual harassment is a widespread problem in the maritime industry. That's not to say that all ships are bad or all crews are bad or that every ship that you get on there will be sexual assault and sexual harassment happening. However, it does happen. And one thing that I've noticed over the years is that this industry likes to be gender blind. When it comes to treating women, people think that I'm just going to treat them like equals. And they fail to acknowledge gender experiences. When you fail to acknowledge someone's experience in the workplace, especially when they are a different gender than the dominant group, which would be male in the maritime industry, then you will fail to provide them resources and support when they need it. We cannot be gender blind. We cannot be race blind. We cannot be blind to other experiences anymore. It's time to acknowledge what women and marginalized groups go through. In order to really effect change in the industry, for this to be an inflection point where we can come together to support our crewmates, we must acknowledge different experiences. And that starts by listening to these experiences, pausing what we're doing just to listen and learn without judgment. We do that a lot at Women Offshore, where we have events and we listen and we learn from each other. It's impactful. But rarely does the female cadet's experience get talked about. We've done that some online, but we don't ask them the hard questions. Why would we? For the most part, they're trying to learn from us. They're the ones asking us the questions. But this episode is going to be different. I did not expect this episode to happen. Six midshipmen from the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy, all women, approached me with an episode that they put together. They wanted to raise their voices on this podcast and share their experiences for change. And they wanted other women to know that they don't have to go through hard experiences alone either. If you are unfamiliar with the maritime industry and maybe the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy specifically, you should know that the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy, known as USMMA, is a federal service academy, just like the Naval Academy, and they send their students, known as midshipmen, out to sea on commercial vessels. Referred to as cadet sailing, this is an extremely important part of their education. The students acquire real-world experiences so that they can be ready day one upon graduation to work on ships and serve our nation in times of war. There is no replacement for this kind of real-world experience, not even on a training ship. They are not on a cruise. They are on mission-critical training. The industry needs the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy because it trains 80% of the U.S. Navy's strategic sealift officers, which are licensed merchant mariners upon graduation that can be called on at any moment to support critical sealift maritime operations in times of national defense and emergency. A recent example for your reference is from 2009 to 2011, when more than 95% of all cargoes to U.S. and coalition forces in Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom were carried on the U.S. flag commercial fleet. So I'm going to play the recording now of these six female midshipmen who came together to raise their voices. And I want you to really listen without judgment. Listen to what they've gone through. And then when you get to the end, I want you to ask yourself, what can you do starting today to change the industry so that no matter what gender steps on board, no matter if they're a cadet or if they are an experienced seafarer, that they can be in a safe work environment? Because these cadet experiences that you will listen to, they're not unique. They're not unique to cadets. They're not necessarily unique to women either. The experiences that they will talk about on this episode, I have heard before. And it's time that the industry is aware of these things because they're hard to talk about. These experiences include stalking on board, microaggressions, and grooming. Things that you don't really see written in policy not to do. But some of the behaviors that they're going to speak about do lead to sexual assaults and rapes. And they make women's lives and men's lives too more difficult. Imagine having to worry about your personal safety on board while you're trying to do your stressful job. It shouldn't be that way. So please, we need to come together as an industry, understand female experiences, and make this a safe work environment for all. I stand in solidarity with the female voices that you're about to hear, and I support them in raising their voices for change in the industry.
I'm Jessie Warner, and I'm a senior at the United States Merchant Marine Academy. With everything that's going on right now, especially in terms of midshipmen from the United States Merchant Marine Academy and their time out at sea regarding SASH incidents, I believe it's only fair to bring women in my class to come speak to you all about our experiences and what we learned. These women that I'm about to introduce you all to are not just my friends, but they are women that push me to be a better leader both here, out at sea, and in society. I applaud all these women for coming forward and having the courage to come speak on this podcast. Without further ado, let me introduce to you all these women.
I'm Kara Beebe, and I'm from Fairfield, Connecticut.
I'm Clarice Adams, and I'm from Oguanago, Wisconsin.
I'm Mackenzie Ralston, and I'm from Atlanta, Georgia.
I'm Hannah Taylor, and I'm from Baltimore, Maryland.
I'm Cheyenne Jimerson, and I'm from Salisbury, Maryland.
Thank you guys again for coming onto this podcast. Let's get into it. The first question is, when you were going out to sea for the first time, what do you expect that you're getting yourself into?
This is Kara. As someone who is going out to sea for the first time and someone who's super passionate about his future seagoing career, I thought that first sailing was going to be an incredible learning experience, and I thought that I'd find a lot of mentorship on board the vessel, and you know, I went in just wanting to soak up everything that I could and learn from all the officers on board.
This is Mackenzie, and honestly, I didn't know what to expect. Nobody in my family had any experience with the Merchant Marine, so I was just going out to learn as much as I could, and I was excited about that.
No, yeah, I completely get that. I think everyone going into first sailing really has a wide variety of what to expect. Some people come from like a long line of King's Pointers that have an idea of what sailing's going to be like, whereas there's people like me who had no idea what I was getting myself into. I really had no idea what it was going to be like to be an engine cadet, what my day would consist of, where I was going, stuff like that. Okay, so the next question is, when you guys got aboard your ship, did you have someone appointed to you that you could go to regarding anything, whether it's SASH related or just simple questions you had regarding the ship?
This is Clarice. On both of my ships, the officer who was appointed to me made a point to come up to me and tell me that that was their role as a mentor and that they were there if I needed anything. But especially on my first sailing ship, the one time that I did actually come forward and had an issue that I wanted addressed and went to the mentor for. They wanted nothing to actually have to do with having to help me.
Clarice, I'm sorry to hear that. When you would go to them and talk to them, why do you think that they didn't take the mentorship seriously?
I think a majority of it came down to the fact that it was just an added responsibility that they didn't want to have. You know, cadets in general, a lot of people view them as causing problems, and they don't really want to deal with those problems if they don't have to.
This is Kara again. Going off of what Clarice said, on my first sailing vessel, it was company policy to assign each cadet a mentor. I was assigned my chief mate, but he wanted nothing to do with the program, and he continuously stated that he thought it was stupid to have this mentorship program. And I did try and come reach out to him about various things, whether it be sea projects, work environment. He kind of belittled my statements and didn't do anything to help me on board.
Kara, I'm sorry to hear that too. Do you think that the mentorship program would be beneficial for young cadets if it was done right?
Yes, I think it would be extremely beneficial to have the mentorship program if it was completed correctly. As some of the ladies here stated, we don't really know what we're getting into when we go on board ships, so sometimes we feel alone and overwhelmed. So with someone with so much experience, they could definitely help us through tough times on board the ship.
Okay, the next question I want to ask you guys was, when you guys got aboard your ship, whether it be first or second sailing, did you have someone that you could go to in times of distress or just you needed comfort or needed to talk to someone? Did you have someone on the ship that you could trust?
This is Hannah, and it really took me until second sailing to finally have someone on my ship that I could go to if I felt uncomfortable or was distressed about like projects or just my work situation. First sailing, both my ships, I think I was like either the only girl or one of the only girls on board. So I didn't really feel comfortable going to anybody because I didn't think anyone relate to the issues I was having or the situations I faced. And then second sailing, it definitely changed a lot with the ship I got on first. That crew was a lot more welcoming. There was a lot more girls. And I think that was the major change, was just having a female that understood what I was going through, either has been through it before or just could relate, and I could trust them. I became a lot closer with them. I know we have sea partners, but sometimes you get stuck on a ship with someone you barely know as your sea partner and you can't trust them.
No, I completely get that. On my second ship, second sailing, I got on with a guy who I had no idea who he was. To be honest, I didn't recognize his name. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. But fortunate enough for me, he ended up being an amazing sea partner. But for me, I had a stewardess on my ship who was a female. And I don't know what it is, but when you have a female on your ship, I feel like you feel an instant bond with them and you can know that you can rely on them. Although, I mean, we know that that's not always the case. However, in most situations, I feel like it is because we try to look out for each other because we know that we're the minority out there. But no, I went to her whenever I needed anything. And I think that goes for a lot because the women out there want to take care of the younger girls they see on ships.
By second sailing, I really started recognizing a lot more red flags from first as compared to first sailing. So when I saw those things, I would immediately go to my female third mate and talk to her about them. And she'd either handle the situation for me and talk to the crew member that was bothering me or give me advice on what to do. And there's just nothing like having that female bond at sea.
That was awesome, Hannah. Thank you for sharing. I think that perfectly lines up with the next question I want to bring to the table was, looking back now on your experiences first and second sailing, were there any red flags you dismissed at the time, but looking back now, you knew that they were red flags?
This is Cheyenne. First sailing, I think it all started with small comments, and because we go out kind of unprepared, we're young, we don't have a lot of experience in the industry and dealing with the types of people that are at sea, so we're unprepared for comments and how to defend ourselves against them. So you laugh off a comment and the next time it's a little bit more forward. And then from there, it just goes on down the continuum of harm. I think people really need to watch out for the grooming aspects of relationships at sea. Things that feel safe to you might not be safe when you look back on it later. And I think it's really important to even, no matter what circumstance you're in at sea, to make sure that you're still able to take a step back and really analyze the situation to make sure that you're in a safe place.
Yeah, Cheyenne, I couldn't say it any better. I think that's perfect. I think looking back, I wish I kind of stopped things when I first saw them happening and arise with just simple comments that my instinct knew wasn't right, but I just brushed it off and I was like, okay, whatever. I want to be one of the guys, especially down the engine room. But looking back now, I should have spoken up.
One of the things I experienced both first and second sailing was on the side of the unlicensed, especially those that were hawse piping. They would often ask me for help with their studying while I'm trying to complete my own sea projects. They would come up to my watch consistently, kind of stalking seems a little strong, but they were where I was whenever they were free. And if they had just came to the bridge, it wouldn't have been as much of an issue, but some of them started showing up to my door at night or calling my room after hours, and that's just not okay. And first sailing, I didn't recognize that as like a major issue. But luckily by second sailing, when someone did that, I recognized it immediately from my experience first sailing and talked to my third mate about it. And she had a discussion with the AB that was trying to hawse pipe.
This is Mackenzie, and just kind of going along with what Cheyenne said, just little comments turn into bigger things. It could start just by like, oh, you look nice today. And then 2 weeks later, crew members are trying to get you to come to their room and watch a movie with them. Whatever it is, it just starts off small and it might not seem like a big deal. It might be a comment here and there that you laugh off and brush off, and then it slowly leads to become an issue.
For me, like first sailing, I dealt with a crew member who used to like twist my words and make awkward comments because of the things that I said, and it became like an issue just over time. But I recognized it and dealt with it eventually, and I was glad that I did, even though I wish I had dealt with it sooner. We ended up having a much more respectful relationship afterwards because I had dealt with it, and we still like have a good relationship now because of that. But then second sailing, I dealt with a completely different situation where it wasn't like comments necessarily. It was more of like actual physical advances that was being made from a crew member, and I didn't really deal with it well. I'd recognize the signs because I've had enough training to like know what the red flags are, and I saw them, but I spent so many days where I was so scared that eventually I just told myself if I just accepted it and told myself that it was okay and that I wanted it, I'd be less scared and wouldn't be as stressed out. And it did allow me to finish sailing, but it ended up being so much worse for me emotionally because of that.
This is Kara again. Going off what Mackenzie and Cheyenne spoke about with the comments, I really think that they need to be nipped in the butt right when they are starting at a small level, because on my second sailing vessel, I didn't experience it as much first sailing, and I wish I knew the red flags, because on my second sailing vessel, I did experience those comments. And again, you kind of just want to be one of the boys. It's your superior officer. You don't want to tell him off, but when they do start making these comments, for me at least, I kind of played them off, brushed them off. And then they started becoming to like touches on the shoulder and uncomfortable grabs of the waist while you're on the bridge trying to do your job. And for me, it ran into this problem of like, I was honestly kind of scared to go up to the bridge and be with him by myself because I wasn't sure what would happen next, because I didn't necessarily stop it when I could have with the comments, and it just transitioned into something bigger that kind of snowballed into these comments, advances towards me. And I think that if other people saw it as well, and that bystander impact, it could have been stopped.
Going off what Kara said, on one of my ships, there was a second mate that was extremely creepy and would just always come up to the bridge and lurk when I was up there, even though it wasn't his watch, and would just always try to get me to work with him. And it was my second sailing, so I was aware of the red flags and told him to back off and leave me alone. And he proceeded to tell the third and chief mate that I was a bitch and that I was just a troublemaker and that I couldn't be trusted. So it just goes back to, even when you do stand up for yourself, like, it can come back and bite you in the butt.
I think it's important for women who are out there now and who are going to be coming on ships, future cadets. I think it's still important to say something because it's important to stand up for yourself.
No, I think you guys all said it really well. I think at the end of the day, we need to come forward not just for ourselves and our own safety, but for the younger girls and younger guys that are going to get on these ships after us, because without us reporting or talking to someone, there's nothing to, there's no paper trail, there's no hard evidence that they could be like, okay, let's not put people on these ships. But until we speak up and stand up for ourselves, the process will continue in an endless circle and the harassment will continue till God knows how long. The next part that we're going to get into, the next question is going to be about bystanders. When you are on your guys' ships, do you think that there's something in particular these bystanders can look out for and help and aid you guys as an advocate?
This is Hannah, and I had a situation on one of my ships where my sea partner had some good qualities as a bystander. He definitely had a few bad qualities and went about things the wrong way sometimes, but overall, he paid attention to how I was acting and my whole demeanor during the day and the way I socialized with the crew and how it changed after my situation. And he came and talked to me about it to check to see if I was okay. And I think that's an important first step as a bystander. If you notice something different in your sea partner or one of your crewmates, like, go to them and check on them and their mental health and see how they're doing.
No, I agree. On my second ship, I got, as I said, with a cadet who I didn't really know well. We weren't really friends at the academy. But obviously, when you get on these ships, you're going to be seeing them a lot. And you end up forming a friendship or a relationship. And whether you guys were close or not before, you still have each other's backs, or you're supposed to. It's kind of an unspoken rule, because at the end of the day, we're King's Pointers and we're both going through it. I was fortunate enough that, like, my sea partner, when he noticed I was going through something, because he didn't know at the time, my aunt passed away, so I was not in a good mind place. So he checked in on me. He's like, hey, Jess, like, I know you're acting a little different. You're not going to dinner. Like, is there anything I can do? Like, I know you don't have to talk about it, but just know that I'm here for you.
This is Cheyenne. To go along with bystander intervention, I think that if anyone at sea sees something, that before anything happens, it's really important to go and talk to the would-be victim first to make sure that they're okay with you acting on their behalf, making sure that they're okay with the situation. Because sometimes when bystanders intervene on their own without going to that person first, maybe they read the situation wrong. Maybe they're taking it in a way that they wouldn't like that. But I think that just in terms of general bystander intervention, you really need to make sure that the other person is either okay with the situation or they're not okay with the situation, because things can be misinterpreted. And it's really important to not violate boundaries by interacting with someone on their behalf if that's not what they would have wanted.
The school takes the time to give us the training that we need for bystander prevention and intervention and all that stuff. The problem is, for the majority, is that most people don't take it seriously. They just see it as an hour of their time wasted going over information that they feel is self-explanatory. But if it was so self-explanatory, then they wouldn't really need to go over it. They go over it because people forget that stuff, or they don't notice it. They don't know the red flags, and that's why the training is important. And some of the training is outdated, but they're working on fixing that actively right now. So it's only going to get better, but it needs to start with people actually paying attention and taking the time to care.
No, Clarice, you're right. I think at the end of the day, we do need to take these trainings more seriously, because bystanders, they don't think at the time their job is important. They kind of seem as trivial. However, a bystander can really save someone, whether it's out at sea or at school in general. So I think you're right. We need to work as a community to take these more seriously and better them, make them more interactive. Because although they are here for us. They're a little outdated, so I think we should update those and take them more seriously. Thank you guys for sharing. I want to touch on for the next question is, if we could change anything regarding C for cadets, what would it be? Personally, I believe that there needs to be a way to have a paper trail regarding, for example, if someone got kicked off their ship in regard to sexual assault and sexual harassment, if they go work at another company, there needs to be a paper trail in the fact that, well, this person got kicked off for sexual assault, sexual harassment. I know that the reason behind that there isn't that right now is because technically each company has their own take on what sexual assault, sexual harassment is. Well, my take on that is there needs to be a cut and dry example of what sexual assault is and rules. So, for example, if you're caught in a cadet's room, you're getting kicked off your ship for sexual assault, sexual harassment. There's a zero tolerance for that. When I say zero tolerance, right now, all companies, most companies, their take on sexual assault and sexual harassment is a zero tolerance. That's all they have. But we need to have it more cut and dry, black and white. So when they do go to another company, there are all these rules that are standardized throughout the maritime industry. So it's, this person did get kicked off for SASH. They were in a cadet's room, or they inappropriately touched a cadet, stuff like that.
You know, to go off of that, when you get training in like the realm of like SASH and SAPR, you know, they teach you about the pendulum from like baby level of like harassment to like being raped. And I think that it's an important thing that everyone should be aware of the fact that like, even if you view it as something small, or even if it's like on the low end of the spectrum, like it's still harassment, and companies need to recognize that you can't have an open, you know, wishy-washy policy on it where like you get to decide what harassment is. Harassment is harassment across the board. Just because you may view it as small doesn't mean it like the person wasn't being harassed, and that policy needs to change in companies.
I think another big thing is that even companies who have training modules don't always take them seriously. I know when I was sailing as a cadet, I would sit in the cargo office, and my job for that day would be to click through the training modules for the entire crew. So yes, like company requirements were satisfied and it looks like all crew members were doing the required trainings, but in reality, they were just having one individual click through and do it all. So I think that there really needs to be a change in the industry with emphasis on people actually completing their own trainings.
Wait, Cheyenne, that's actually a kind of a big deal. Were you told like by your captain or chief mate that this was your job, like you had to do this? Did they know? Did everyone on the crew know that you were doing this?
Yeah, the chief mate told me to do it for that day. So the entire crew would have known that they would have had this training to be done because everyone can log into their accounts. So they would have known they had a training coming up and that I was told to do it by a supervisor.
This is Mackenzie, and I can add to that. On one of my ships, we would have crew meetings on safety talks, and one of them, we would have one every 2 months about harassment, and it would be maybe a 2 minute long conversation, and the chief mate would basically just say respect each other, and that was kind of the end of it. It didn't go into actual what is harassment, what is wrong, what is right.
Yeah, to go off what you just said, Mackenzie, I mean, I, on my ships, I really didn't have any sort of conversation, formal conversation with the crew. They never really talked about it. They were really in on safety. However, harassment was never brought up. The captain on my ships would always come checking on me and stuff like that. However, it was never something that was brought up with the whole crew. It was more, I mean, because at the end of the day, everyone sees cadets as kind of as a liability. It's sad to say that, especially being a woman. So they kind of felt like they had to say it. It wasn't really, we're going to talk to the whole crew, because this is not just a 18 to 24 demographic problem. It can happen at any age. So yeah.
This is Kara. Jesse, I completely agree with you. On both my ships, there is absolutely no training on sexual assault, sexual harassment. And it almost seemed like the crew was walking on eggshells when anything was discussed about females, and I felt that some of the crew members were almost uncomfortable to talk to us because, as Jesse said, unfortunately, some of them think that we are a liability as cadets. But although it's hard to talk about, I think it's a conversation that needs to be held and it needs to be continued throughout the industry.
As we get closer to the end of this podcast, I really want to touch on something, and the fact that if you can go back to your younger self, or these plebes that are about to go out to first sailing, or the third class about to go out for first sailing too, what do you think you would tell them about advice that you've experienced?
My advice to my younger self would just be, don't be afraid to speak out if someone is making harassment comments or anything. On ships, there's kind of this unspoken conception that whenever there's a female cadet on board or a female on board in general, there's going to be issues with sexual harassment. And, oh, like, she's going to report someone for sexual harassment. And you, as a cadet or as a female on the ship, you don't want to be that person that does that, but you shouldn't be afraid to either. If you're having an issue with someone, you should feel safe to go to someone and report it if you have to.
No, that was greatly worded, Mackenzie. I think if I could talk to my younger self, Jesse, that was going out at 18, I wish I kind of understood two things. One, your evals are not the end of the world. Jesse, I know when you first go on your ship, you were freaking out and you wanted to get a perfect eval. At the end of the day, your evaluation is not more important than your mental health and your physical safety. I remember I would bite the bullet, stay quiet, because I was so scared that I was going to get a bad eval, or I honestly was told that I'd get blackballed in the industry for coming forward. When that's not the case, you are never in the wrong for coming forward about this stuff, because this should not be happening to you. You should be going out to sea and seeing the world and learning about your job. Sexual assault, sexual harassment should not be taking place in any industry, especially in the maritime industry, when we call it sexual assault and sexual harassment. But at the end of the day, it's also domestic violence, because you cannot go anywhere. When you're on a ship, you're stuck there. You have to sleep there. You can't go home. And honestly, which makes it harder on all of us, especially when we went out there at such a young age. Also, I want to touch on the fact that when I got on my ship too, I feel like I needed to prove something. One, being from Kings Point, after when we hear, oh, Kings Pointers, like, we had a bad reputation, like, you are pretentious and feel like, you're deserving of everything, or with everything with a C or stand down. First off, that's not the case. When you go out to sea, you should be graded on your performance and how well you want to be there and the effort you put in every day, as well with the fact I was so worried that I kind of had to prove something on my basis of my sex. I felt like as a woman that I had to prove everyone that I deserved to be there. In reality, I have every right to be there just like everyone else. If I could tell my younger self and the younger plebes going out, you don't need to prove something. Don't put that pressure on yourself. Being out at sea is already strenuous enough on your mental health and physical well-being that going to work and waking up and just doing your best is literally all that they can ask for.
Yeah, going off that, I feel like before we were going out to sea, the people I spoke to didn't really put an emphasis on this stuff can happen. Like, people will make sexual harassment comments to you. Like, this is a problem. Everyone I spoke to before was just kind of like, oh, stand up for yourself if people do make these comments. But it was all kind of not taken seriously. Like, anyone I talked to made it seem like it was extremely rare for any of this to happen, which, through my experience doing cadet shipping, was just not the case.
Going back off what Jesse said, I think that there's a lot of pressure going out to sea as a woman because you feel like you constantly have to fight to be something that you're not. And I think that it's important to remember that you don't have to do that. Like Jesse said, you are just as valid, you are just as meant to be at sea as they are. And I think it's important to remember to embrace your own femininity. It's okay to be a girl, and maybe that means something different for everyone, but I think it's important to remember that you are still who you are. And I know I didn't feel that way when I first went to sea, and it took me right until the end of second sailing to realize that, no, I am allowed to be who I am. And I think that's something that not a lot of people really think of, and no one really realizes that you have to like work through that, but I think it's important to remember that.
Yeah, going off what Cheyenne, Jesse, and Mackenzie said, I think there is this misconception that cadets, and especially females, have to prove themselves while out at sea. But I think advice that I wish I knew going into both my sailings was, it's okay to not always have thick skin while you're out there. It's okay to stand up for yourself, especially if you find yourself in a situation that you're uncomfortable with. We're all human, and if we bottle these emotions up and continue to let them simmer, it pours into your work and it is a detriment to your mental health.
Yeah, and just to continue that, you know, a lot of the advice we were constantly given was that you have to go out there and you have to be aggressive, you have to be strong, you have to be basically one of the guys in order to prove that, like, you're not weak. And I think the biggest advice I would love to have given myself is that, like, it's okay to be shy and it's okay to be, you know, not as aggressive as the guys. But, you know, just to remember that, like, if a line gets crossed and if you are uncomfortable, like, that's when you need to stand up. But you don't need to feel like you have to be like someone you're not. You don't have to feel like you have to be the bad guy in order to make sure that you get the respect you deserve.
With what you said about being one of the boys, I kind of correlate that to being pressured to do things that you don't want to do, especially with it comes to alcohol consumption. If you feel pressured to go out and drink, please understand that you don't have to do any of that. You don't need to prove yourself to be one of the boys. If you don't want to do that, you don't have to. And if you do end up going out and drinking, please make sure you have someone with you that you trust. And please try to keep what you drink to like a minimal. Try not to put yourself in a dangerous position where you could be at risk.
Going off that, just know where your drinks are coming from. Watch the bartender. Watch whoever you're out with and make sure nobody's putting anything in your drinks. And in addition, if something does happen to you while you're drinking, don't feel like you can't report it because you'll get in trouble with the school or with the company for drinking underage or having alcohol with your crew members. If something happens to you, you should report it immediately, regardless of the circumstances it was under.
This is Hannah, and some advice that I wish I had gotten when I was going out to sea for the first time, and some advice I have for those that are going out to sea soon, is remember, like, this is your job for the next few months. You have to be professional and expect the same things from your superiors and from your coworkers. Like, they're not your friends. You don't know them. You don't really know them. You're only with them for a short amount of time. So maintain that professionality. And another thing I want to point out is, like, this is an amazing opportunity that is, like, once in a lifetime. Most other colleges do not offer anything like this. So when you're in port in Japan or
Saipan,
like, enjoy it. Go out. Go explore. Take in the culture. You don't have to just go to the local Seamen Center and drink with your crew. Like, that's not going to make for, like, very great stories one day. Like, enjoy yourself while you can, because that the time to do that is as a cadet.
Our last question for today is, what misconceptions do you think are surrounding the maritime industry right now with everything that's going on? So I want to touch on this. Personally, for me, after a situation I had on a ship, I was terrified to go out to sea. I was scared. And at the end of the day, I think the misconception is, and I learned for myself getting on my second ship, is that there are good people out there. I was fortunate enough to get on a ship that my whole crew ended up being my family. My chief and I text all the time. He gives me advice. He's like a dad to me, and I'm considering to sail back on that ship as a third assistant. But yeah, my advice or my misconception is there are people out there that care about you, and there are hundreds of people, hundreds of thousands of sailors out there, and there are a few bad eggs, don't get me wrong. However, there are genuine good people, and they also are here with us too, and they understand this is an issue, and they're working with us just as much as we are to continue this movement and end SASH for good out of the maritime industry.
Yeah, going off that, I would just say nobody should be scared to go out to sea, and things can happen, things do happen. But it's not every ship that you're going to experience that. There's so many good opportunities you get to experience when you go out to sea. The travel experience, I visited 10 countries before I was 22, and not many people can say that they've gotten to do that. So although you should be aware when you're out at sea, you shouldn't be scared.
I think one of the biggest misconceptions right now is that this is just a woman's issue.
No, anyone can be a victim of sexual assault, sexual harassment, and they are. Like, there are so many males, some that I know, and I'm sure there's others that don't speak about it because of they're embarrassed because they think it's a woman's issue, but it's not. And this issue can happen to any gender, any rank. Like, it can happen to officers, ABs, wipers, like, any department. It's not just a woman's cadet issue.
I think one of the biggest misconceptions, especially now based off of reports that have been coming in, is that, like, every person you're going to encounter in the industry is going to want to, like, assault you or harass you. And that's just not true. Like, sure, a lot of people have stories that they come back with where they experienced a bad crew member. But, like, for me, like, I had one bad, like, crew member out of the probably at least 50 that I sailed with. And, you know, I came out of sea remembering the 49 people who were amazing and all the good experiences I had. And just, like, remembering that, like, yes, there are bad people out there, but a majority of them are good. A majority of them are there for you and they want to help you.
I also want to say that, like, although right now we feel that or we can't trust the system, whether it's at school or in the maritime industry in general. However, I just want to touch on my, like, story. I reported, and I'm so happy I did, because within 20 minutes, I was in the captain's office, and the captain, he was appalled with what happened to me, and I was running on the phone with representatives of the company, and they took care of it. And trusting the system, I know right now, it feels like it's not okay, and you hear these stories. However, it worked for me, and I know, especially right now, it's just getting better. Those men that harassed me are no longer on that ship. So really what I'm just trying to emphasize is that the system at the end of the day is beneficial, and it helps younger men, women, and just people in general that are about to sail, because putting a physical report in leads to a paper trail and protects everyone.
I think another big misconception is that the school, the academy, isn't really taking this seriously, but that isn't the case. In the past few weeks, there's been a massive undertaking from really all sides. Every department in school is involved, students are involved, coaches. Everyone is working to identify the issues in the industry and think and brainstorm ways of making them better. A lot of the women here on this podcast are involved in committees. Some of us have meetings today. We're all working really hard on changing this, and school is taking this issue very seriously.
Lastly, I want to touch on a misconception that this can't be necessarily spoken about amongst your peers or here at school due to the nasty rumor mill that we have here, but we all want to make it known that this is something you should feel comfortable about talking to any of us on this podcast, any of the professors, anybody superior to you. We are here to help you and we are here to listen to you.
No, Kara, with what you just said, I just want to emphasize that me, Cheyenne, Hannah, and Clarice are all victim advocates, meaning that we're certified and trained to be restricted sources that you can come and talk to us about these SASH incidences and give you advice, give you resources, help you file a restricted, unrestricted report. Basically, just to be an advocate and help you through these dark times that you might be going through or went through and help you talk it through. Also, I speak for everyone here that our doors are always open for you. You guys can come talk to us no matter what, no matter the hour. We're here to help you guys. But thank you guys for listening to this podcast. I hope you guys learned something from it, from our experiences, and I hope you guys got a good takeaway. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies, for raising your voices for change in the maritime industry. This conversation was brave and impactful. For those listening, I ask you to consider what your onboard culture is like. Do any of these experiences in this episode resonate with you? Or do you think that maybe one of your colleagues on board, one of your shipmates, might have similar experiences, even currently? Reach out to them, have tough conversations, and talk about how you're going to change shipboard culture so that it can be a safe work environment for everyone. Work with your companies, reach out now. Now is the time to come forward with your ideas on what training on board should look like and what policy changes are needed. We can do this together. We know the maritime industry is the best industry to work in. There are amazing career paths on the water that everyone should have access to. Let it be a safe work environment for anyone who wants to pursue it. Thank you.